needs it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war within my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a wretched person I am. Who will free me from the life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, to take full control. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would please go before me, that you would level every mountain. I ask that you would calm my spirit and allow me to communicate the word the way that you gave it to me. I pray that our hearts would be open, that our minds would be open, that our spirits would identify with the sinful nature that tries to dominate us. I pray for victory this morning. Speak to us. I need your anointing. Father, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I almost feel like I could stop here, but I have found that there is a war that wages within my heart. And I've learned over the years that this is, for years I used to think, as you know, because I didn't grow up in church, when I started walking with God, I really thought that there was something wrong with me. Wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. I thought I was twisted in my mind, and I used to look around at people in the church. I was like, how in the world do these people do it? I used to think that I was the only one with the issue, but as I started to make friends and develop relationships within the church, I learned to understand that all people struggle with this very thing called sinful nature. When you look at the scripture we read, the Apostle Paul describes the basic frustration that lives inside every believer. And that is the will to want to do right and for whatever reason not do it. When you look at Romans 17, 15 through 21, the Apostle Paul describes a divide between his will and his actions. And then Romans 17, 21 through 23, he talks about the war that wages within our spirit. Now, to put a name on that war, you have to know that there is this thing called the sinful nature that is at war with the Spirit of God in your life. Think of a sinful nature like a squatter. Who knows what a squatter is? Well, when there's vacant houses on the market, there are people that break in, whether they can be homeless, whether they can be drug addicted, whatever it is. But they go into the house unauthorized, without permission, and they just sit there. And normally they make a mess of the house. And then the authorities come and they got to kick them out. Well, did you know the sinful nature is exactly the same? Because sinful nature tries to make a home in our hearts, tries to make its home in our minds. Now, for many of us, we didn't grow up in church. And even if you did grow up in church, you will find that the sinful nature will try to come and set up shop in your mind and in your heart. But then when the Spirit of God comes and he starts moving in your life, he's like the authority that now is at war with the sinful nature trying to kick it out. See, the sinful nature is the part of a human being that urges us to commit sin against God. And what you have to understand this morning, in spite of how long you've been serving God, sinful nature will always try to tempt you into doing what is wrong. We've somehow believed a lie that certain sins are worse than others. Now, to a degree, that's somewhat true, but at the end of the day, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And some people say things, well, I'm not murdering people and I'm not hurting people. I'm just smoking a little dope. Can we go there? There's some people that are like, well, I'm not hurting, well, I'm not killing anybody, but they have judgment. Or they're gossipers. Did you know that every time you talk about somebody, we don't always know the story, and sometimes gossip is out of assumption? And did you know that the Bible talks seven abominations of the Lord? But you know what's heavy? If you read in that chapter, at the very end, it says that there is one that God hates, a gossip. What's heavy about that is there were seven abominations, but after he talks about a gossip is what he hates, therefore elevating gossip above the abominations. But there are people that they think, well, I'm not doing anything. And as a matter of fact, they disguise gossip as, you know what, let me tell you what's going on, but do me a favor, just pray for them. At the end of the day, we have to understand that there are sins that we live out that need to be confronted, because they don't belong in the life of a spirit-filled believer. Now, I already knew when I braced myself this morning, trust me, I prayed, I knew I wouldn't get a whole lot of amens, because sin is not a topic people want to hear about. But I was praying, and the Lord said, if you were going to go any further, you have got to start confronting the sin that dwells in your heart. Most churches, they say, that, you know, most people, they're like, preach to me, preacher. Make me feel good. Tell me about blessing. Tell me about how God is going to give me glory. Well, I'm going to tell you how God's going to give you glory. We got to start confronting the sins that so easily entangle us and trip us up on this journey called life. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote 80% of the New Testament, or 70% of the New Testament. This man was at war within himself. He even says in verse number 18, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. The New King James Version reads it like this, I know that in my flesh, nothing good dwells. See, the Bible teaches that we have a sinful nature. We all have a tendency to sin. Isn't it funny that no one teaches a child how to sin? Over time, children will just sin. It's in our nature. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, catch this, this is heavy. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And again, I feel led to talk about this, because if we're ever going to live a spirit-filled life, we have to understand the sinful nature. We have to understand that, listen, we're not exempt. I'm not exempt. This is why I have to pray. This is why I have to continually read the Word of God to change my mind, because naturally, I that I could be very negative. Come on, look at me like that. Some of you could be very negative too. But in order for me to overcome negativity, I got to fill my heart with positivity. How do you clean a dirty cup? You got to start pouring water and flush out any gunk that's there. And sometimes it's not just going to be one wrench. You got to go back and forth and use a scrubber to get some of the stuff off that tainted our view. And listen, we are living in a time where people are dying and searching for the truth. Sin is running rampant at a young age. We are losing children left and right. And God is looking for a church that says, I will not settle for sin in my house. I will not settle for the little things that the world says it's okay. I will cite with the Word of God. I will stand my ground, even if you don't like it. Come on, somebody. The Word is supposed to convict our spirit. It's supposed to cut through the things that are corrupt in our hearts. Now, I'm not saying everybody's corrupt, but according to the Bible, it says we all have a sinful nature. And we're not exempt. As a pastor, I'm not exempt. If anything, I got to pray more. If anything, I got to read more. Simply because the enemy would love to catch me slipping. Mama didn't raise no fool. Come on, somebody. We are living in a time where people are in a divide. On one hand, they want victory in Christ, but on the other, they want to hold on to the pleasures of sin. And God says, you got to choose. This is why there are some people, like this is a visual, this is what their spirit looks like. And then they're frustrated. And now they're like, man, this church, I'm gonna... And they're just kind of going over and over. And God says, no, you're not breaking through this one. I broke you through last time because of grace, because of my mercy. You didn't deserve it, but I gave it to you anyway. But to break through this time, it's going to cost you something. Understand that the anointing of God, when I talk about the anointing, it's the Spirit of God poured upon our life, is not cheap. And it cannot dwell in a life full of sin. Understand that the sinful nature wants to feed the desires of your flesh, because our flesh lusts against the Spirit of God. Are you getting something? Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things you wish. This goes back to what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Everything he wants to do, for whatever reason, he doesn't do it. And when he wants to do good, when he sets to do good, he inevitably does wrong. It's because of the lusts and the sinful nature. You know, that this is the reason you have powerless believers. There are some people, they never have the victory in their life. Now listen, you just got to know, you got to keep fighting. But if you've been doing the same thing over and over and you're not getting a different result, you got to shake things up. You got to seek the word of God. You got to get around people that have victory in their life. We can't be hanging out with people that don't have victory. And if we do, you got to set a time limit on it. Some people, we spend all our time with people that are negative. Now listen, I got family members I love. I love my family. Oh, we get together, it's fun. But I got to put a time limit for the sake of my mindset. Because if I hang out too long and they start talking negative, I'm susceptible to that negativity. I'm not better. I just know myself. I understand my weaknesses. I understand my mission. And as a result, you got to set time limits. Because you're called to reach your family. But be the good example. Don't get caught slipping. Don't get caught without prayer. As believers, we have to do everything in our power to live spirit-filled lives, because sin is a lot like Superman's kryptonite. Sin will cripple us, keeping us from doing what we want to do. And know this, those who give themselves to their sinful nature are dominated by it and cannot understand what the Spirit of God is doing. This is why it's so hard. I know what it's like to live a double life. I know what it's like to do something outside of church and come into church, and because of the pressure of everyone else, lift my hands like everything's okay. Who's been there? Just wave at me. Walking with God 16 years, I haven't always done things right. There was a lot of learning. There was a lot of failing. There was a lot of that I had to be taught. But know this, there is nothing in this life that goes unseen. God knows us. And you can fool the person next to you. You can fool your parents. You can fool your wife. You can fool your husband. You can fool your best friend. But you cannot fool God. And if you know, listen, all of us have the calling of God upon our life. Some pursue it more than others. But if the call of God is your focus, you have to live different. You got to live like an Olympian. You can't just eat what you want. You can't just feed your mind what you want. You can't just watch what you want. You can't just listen to the music you want. You got to make sure that you stay in step with what God wants. It's not going to be popular. People aren't going to like it. But listen, you listen to God and watch him part the floodgates for you. You watch him break through doors. You watch the miracles of God in your life. The Spirit of God cannot be at work in a person that lives according to their flesh. The Spirit of God cannot work at the same time if we're diving into our sinful nature. And understand this. If we want to be effective, we have to understand how sin works. Now, I learned this. This is the definition of what it means to sin. Actions by which humans rebel against God, miss their purpose for their life, and surrender to the power of evil rather than God. James 4:17 says this, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." There are things that we got to come to the Lord. And sometimes there are things we don't know that's wrong. There's certain legitimate, some are like, I really don't know if this is wrong. I encourage you to do one or two things. Ask somebody that's been walking with the Lord for a while or take it to prayer. Because the Spirit will convict anything that's not right. The Spirit of God will confront anything that is contrary to the will of God. And anytime we knowingly do the opposite of what God wants, it's called sin. One of the main things you got to understand about sin is this. Sin is not a single act. People don't just sin. Most people see sin as a single act, but God reveals through Scripture that sin is a process. Let me explain. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Listen to the process. There's five stages, and we're going to go through those, and we'll be coming to a close. Is this helping somebody? Don't get mad at me. Tell me, let's say, I love you. All right, I love you too. Come on, somebody. James chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. When it is fully grown, it gives birth to death." We have to see sin as a process. Especially when you've been walking with God. Know this. Number one, the first step. Before we sin, we will always be tempted. Number one. Because of our sinful nature, we will always be tempted to do what is contrary to God. And this goes back to the war that wages within us. But understand this. If you feed your imagination, if you feed your mind, eventually you're going to act on what you're thinking on. This is why, this is my conviction. I'm not saying you have to do it, but there are certain movies I won't watch. I can't. Because I'll probably give a mad, come on somebody. There's certain music I won't listen to. I don't listen to worldly music. I just don't, because of me. There's something about when I start, man, you get me listening to some stuff before you know it. Come on, somebody. Music has an effect. And there is a lie to this generation that I can listen to whatever I want. Listen, young man. Listen, young lady. The devil would love for you to believe that because you be God's worship leader. As a result, earth, he has corrupted the music. And for us to really think that we can listen to certain things and not cause it to affect how we live or how we think, we're wrong. 1 Corinthians 10:12-13 says this, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation is overtaking you except that is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." I've learned that sometimes people like to flirt with temptation. I'm not going to do anything. Let me just see if I still got it. Come on, somebody. You probably don't got it, but because the enemy's cunning, he's going to pump up your pride and, yeah, you got it, brother. Go do it. Go do it. Oh, yeah, I got it. I didn't get caught. Let me get back to church. We can't flirt with temptation. Because if you flirt with it enough, sooner or later, you will fall. Listen, as men of God, I tell the guys all the time, I tell the guys that we're working with here in the church, live a blameless life. Don't give the enemy, don't give any ammo for him to assassinate your character. Don't go to the connections house. Don't go eat. I don't even eat. We won't even eat in a bar. You know how they ask you, would you like the bar or would you like the, we won't sit in the bar. We don't drink, but I'm not going to sit in the bar. You imagine? I get some apple juice. You walk in, pastor was drinking. No, I wasn't. Now, it doesn't seem like much, but because of the call on my life, I have to guard my testimony. I got to live blameless before the Lord. That's what pleases God. And sometimes we're not blameless. We're like, well, I can handle it. And then the enemy sits there and he's a very patient warrior. He will sit there and wait for the proper opportunity. So number one, temptation. Number two, after you've flirted with temptation, eventually you'll enter stage number two. And this is where by your own evil desires, where desire now starts to grab a hold of you. You know what that word desire means? It's a craving, a longing. It means to lust. It's a desire for what is forbidden. Now, the word found in this scripture in the Greek was referring to the desire of the flesh and the gratification of our inward lust. This word is a Greek word called hedone. Catch this. Which is a military term that refers to leading into battle. In other words, the lust of our flesh is always going to go to battle against our spirit. No man, listen to me, no man is immune to temptation. Sin, given the right circumstance, at the right moment, driven by the right bit of curiosity, will cause any man to fall. And if we have given in to our desire or our sinful nature, we eventually fall into stage number three. Stage number three is when we're now dragged away and we are enticed. Sin always starts with the temptation. Then it's fueled by your craving. And if we feed that craving, eventually we will be dragged away. Now the word dragged away, it depicts the idea of being carried off by a captor or falling into a trap. And sin usually starts in our mind. And if we entertain it enough, we will be enticed. Now that word enticed has a very unique meaning. It means to attract and to tempt by offering pleasure. It means to bait a hook. And sin will always offer you pleasure, but eventually, once you've tasted, it will hook you. Understand this, that both the hunter and the fisherman used bait to capture its prey. No animal would deliberately bite onto a hook or jump into a trap if it understood its nature. No one said that the mouse who got caught in the mouse trap didn't enjoy the cheese for just a little bit before it. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, which brings us to number four. Now that we've been tempted, now that we've given into our cravings, now that we've been dragged away and enticed, number four, we now commit the act of sin. And it says an interesting word, when sin is conceived. You know what that word conceived means? To seize, to take one prisoner. This word is used as a metaphor as man's lust who impulses and indulges when he gets the opportunity. Problem with sin is fun. I'm not gonna lie to you. You want to have a good time? Go sin. But the after effect can cost you your life. Yeah. Once sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. See, sin is addicting. And this is why once we've committed sin, it's so hard to change. Understand this. This is where bondages are created. Because the war wages in our mind. And your captor wants to hold bondage. Sin will take you places you don't want to go and keep you a whole lot longer than you want to stay. The only thing that can get you out of sin is this word called repentance. Now listen, I didn't come to preach gloom and doom. There's actually some good news. There is. This morning I came because I want to expose sin for what it is, but I want to give you the good news. The Bible says in Genesis 4:7, sin crouches at your door and it desires to have you, but you must master it. In other words, God has given us the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Christ that we can master sin. Man, that's some good news. Because in spite of what you're going through, in spite of the strongholds in your family, in spite of the bondages in your mind, if you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and you learn to live according to the Spirit of God, you will overcome anything that goes into your house, any thought that goes into your mind. The power of God is real. The resurrection power has the ability to break every chain of bondage. It has the ability to open doors where you thought they were shut. We can have mastery over sin. And they have some slides. If you can go ahead and put them up. Understand that the Bible tells us about sinful nature. This is what you have to understand about sinful nature. According to Galatians 5:19-20, it says the acts of the flesh or the sinful nature are simple. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, which is an indulgence of pleasure, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Those are the fruits of the flesh. Now, one of the things I do on every day, I honestly have this conversation, are the fruits in my life, the evidence of my life. People that don't know me, do they see this in my life, or do they see the fruit of the Spirit in my life? Now, when you start to see these things manifest in your spirit, jealousy, envy, discord, witchcraft, debauchery, impurity, that we have some examining to do, because the only thing that will help us overcome the sinful nature is confessing that He is Lord and repenting from our wicked ways. I want to give you a few ways you can overcome the sinful nature, and we'll be closing. Number one, he's going to put it on the screen. In order to overcome your sinful nature, the first thing you got to do, set our minds on spiritual things. You got to set your mind on spiritual things. We can't focus on the things of this world. We can't give our mind, we can't give attention to the things that so easily entangle us and draw us in. Romans 8:5 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Philippians 4:8-9 says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. For some, it's simply you got to focus on spiritual things. You can't focus on the bad things. Focus on what God did in your life. Anytime I have a bad attitude, anytime I feel like I'm not cutting it. Have you ever felt like that? You're like, man, I just don't cut it. I don't got it in me. Who's felt that? Just kind of wave at me. Let me know I'm not the only one. Talk to me, church. I go to prayer, and you know what kind of prayers I pray? God, remind me. Remind me what you pulled me out of. God, just remind me of the victories you've given me. He begins to show me where I used to be. He begins to show me the progress in my life. And although I'm not where I should be, I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. I know that I have repented. I have arisen with Christ. I have nailed my passions to the cross. And because He lives, I can live. Because He lives, I have hope. Because He is, I am able to fulfill the call upon my life. But it all starts with focusing on the good. Number two, you got to learn to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Now, what does that mean? How do you walk in the Spirit? Again, when you give your mind to spiritual things, you start reading the Bible, you got to start practicing what the Bible says. You can't just read it like a novel. It doesn't work that way. There is a difference between just reading the Bible and studying the Bible and applying it to your life. When we begin to apply the Word of God to our life, something spiritual happens. God pours His anointing, His Spirit upon your life, and people begin to see the difference in you. They see it on your countenance. They say, man, there's something different about you. Yeah, bro, it's Jesus. I have been set free. I have been delivered. Oh, and I've been practicing what I preach. Come on, somebody. Number three, and as we come to a close, Brother Alec, you can make your way, please. You got to study God's word. You got to study God's word. Psalms 119, 165 says this. Listen to this. This is heavy. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. You could take that to the bank. This is where faith meets action. Where you now say, I'm going to read the word of God and I'm going to apply it to my life and I'm going to trust what his word says. It says nothing can make them stumble. You know why? Because when your mind is filled with the word of God, guess what? It brings conviction in your life. It puts parameters and boundaries on how you can act and how you're not supposed to act. It gives you boundaries to what God has called you to do. Now listen, my convictions are different from your convictions. As your pastor, I'm not going to force my convictions on you. I'm simply going to preach the truth. What you do with the word is up to you. But know that sin will always try to come against you. Sin will always try to bring you to a halt. And God says, I need a holy generation. See, in the greatest evidence of man and women who overcome sin is the fruits of the Spirit. If you could put that last slide. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. For some of you, listen, the message is simple. You got to keep in step with the Spirit. When you first got saved, it was good. When you first started walking with good, but God says it's time to step it up. It's time to give more. It's time to sacrifice. It's time to nail your passions to the cross. It's time to give up those things that I don't like, the things that you know are wrong. I want to do a work in your heart. I want to change your family. I want to give you the blessings from heaven, but you got to take me at my word. You got to trust me and walk away from the sinful nature. You got to be willing to stand contrary to the world as it is. And truly I end with this as we all stand. Romans 6, 8, and 9. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And because he died and he resurrected, because sin no longer has mastery, and since we believe we will resurrect with Christ, guess what? We become the beneficiaries of somebody that can master sin with caution. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This morning, I don't know where you're at.